Well, again, welcome this morning. I'm glad you're here. Mother's Day comes once a year, so do all you can to show your mother your care and your love, and find a way to remember her as well. Today, I want to talk about microbes, carnations, umbilical cords, body and spirit, and Jesus. But before that, here are the top six Mother's Day quotes. This one's anonymous. Man's work is from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done.
Amen.
The quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention is to sit down and look comfortable. Another anonymous one. I love hugs, I love dishes, but what I really love is help with the dishes. And Irma Bombeck once said, the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. The hardest part is showing up for it day after day. Peter DeVry said, a mom's role is to deliver children obstetrically once and by car forever after. And it was comedian Phyllis Diller who once said, I want my children to have all the things I couldn't afford, and then I want to move in with them. Churchleader.com and Lifeway Research now reveal to us that Mother's Day has had the third highest church attendance in America for the past 7 years. And that's whether Catholic or Protestant or Mormon or Jew. Christmas Eve is first, Easter is second. And what that means is that today is the highest non-religious or civil Sunday of church attendance throughout America. Researchers think that there's three reasons that help explain this. First of all, Mother's Day doesn't really compete with other Christian or other religious or non-religious holidays or events. Mother's Day stands alone. Another thing is that Father's Day and 4th of July fall into the summer vacation season, whereas Mother's Day doesn't. And a third is family dynamics. Mother's Day is something that families try to do together. So God bless all the families that are here today and the special effort that it took to be here, to be with your mom or to honor your mom's memory. It's a very kind thing for you to do. Today. It comes from your heart, and I hope that you'll come again. If you're our guest today, you're welcome here at Bethany anytime and every time. You may have also heard that today is the 100th anniversary of Mother's Day in America. The first official Mother's Day service was in 1908, and the celebration of Mother's Day can be traced back even to ancient Greece. But the mother of Mother's Day in our country was Anne Marie Reeves Jarvis, the wife of a Methodist pastor in Grafton, West Virginia, about 4 miles south of Webster. And it was her daughter, Anna, mom was Anne, the daughter was Anna, who led the successful campaign in the early 1900s to have Mother's Day recognized as a national holiday. And people have often asked, well, why did it happen in the second Sunday of May? Why in May? Because that's the Sunday closest to the day of Anne Jarvis's passing, which was May 9th. And because it's also in the resolution approved by the House and the Senate in 1914. All of this is part of our Methodist history. All of this is part of our national history, too. Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in West Virginia, in Grafton there, is the mother church of Mother's Day. It's no longer an active United Methodist congregation. The church building was sold a number of years ago. I think it was 1962. And has now been repurposed into being an international shrine. And it's open to the public. And Methodists also first set the practice of giving carnations on Mother's Day, as a symbol of the purity and the strength and the endurance of motherhood, red for the living and white for the deceased. And you know, even today, thousands of churches in all kinds of denominations, whether they're contemporary churches or classic churches, still do this today with carnations. So I hope everybody will have a good day today. I know that for some people, today's an agonizing day because maybe you've had struggles with your relationship with your mom. You know, for some, mom just passed or has been passed for a while. You know, time goes by so fast. And many people send or bring a gift, you know, to show mom how much you care. And again, thank you for the wonderful list and number of names in our insert today. Thank you for doing that. Some people give roses. If you want to give something that lasts longer than flowers, something more than roses, God's word has some excellent ideas. This scripture that Cole read for us was written about 90 AD, about 60 years after Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't written by a mother, but it says some things that sound like it could have come from your mom or from my mom. In verse 1, it says, the elder, the pastor, that's how John referred to himself in this letter. He says, whom I love in the truth. And you may have a version of scripture where that word T of truth is capitalized. If it is, it's meant to signify the author's intention that truth is Jesus. Not just some concept out there, but a person. He says, whom I love in the truth. I pray that you may also enjoy good health. And that all may go well with you, even as your soul is also getting well. A bit of history on this. In Jesus and in John's time, Israel had been influenced by the Greeks and other philosophers for about 400 years. A long period of time, almost like the length of time, you know, of our nation's history here. And Greeks believed that body and soul were separate. That they existed independently of each other. And they also believed that matter or flesh and soul really didn't impact each other. They just sort of looked at people as one person, but two separate existences. And, you know, many people still believe that today. Maybe you've heard somebody say, well, you know, I can do whatever I want to with my body, but it's not going to affect my spirit or my mind. Or maybe you've heard people say, you know, I'll indulge my mind and my spirit in whatever way I want to, and I'm just going to sort of ignore my physical health. You know, not only is that unwise for us, you know, doctors tell us, but it's also heresy. The biblical truth is that they are related. Our minds and our bodies and our spirits are all related. Jesus is concerned for your body and your soul, and that's a big way in which we practice our faith and what we believe as United Methodists. You know, science now tells us that we have microbes in our intestines. You know, millions and millions of microbes. And they don't just make up all the good and the bad bacteria, you know, in us. Now scientists have discovered that those microbes send messages to our brain and to our immune system. And that affects our mood. And it even affects our appetite. That's why at 11 o'clock in the evening, you're saying, I want a bowl of ice cream. Because those microbes are sending those, you know, shoots right up to your brain, and your brain's saying, yeah, go ahead. We'll send it. We'll be there. And, you know, that kind of stuff. So when you get the hungries and the munchies, you know, where is some more of that pizza? Something like that. That is all, you know, going on in you. They're talking to each other is what they're doing. They're talking to each other. And is it any wonder that whenever we worry or something that we often get our guts in a tangle? And maybe you've even felt your stomach throb at that time. We are all connected. And of course, all of this affects our spirit. So I just want to say this morning, the Bible is right. Body and spirit are related. You know, moms are always asking two questions. You know, are you eating your vegetables? You know, don't eat junk. And are you happy? Are you happy? Are you at peace? Are you going to church? It's your soul. God and your mom are concerned about your physical and your spiritual well-being. Verse 3 says, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Doesn't that sound like something a mother would say, a parent would say? Here, of course, that's not biological children, spiritual. John's talking as a spiritual father. I want to say something today on behalf of moms. You know, sometimes a pastor needs to say things and maybe can say some things that mom can't say. Moms and children spend a lot of time together in the early years. And then there's a change, isn't there? Maybe it's military service, maybe it's work or college, or sometimes the divorce of parents, sometimes marriage. And then it's not so much time together. Was that your experience? Because children grow and get out on their own, and they establish their own lives. That's the plan, right? That's the plan. That's the way that it should be. We get out from under our parents' wings, and for parents, there's a lot of good pride there. And sometimes there's some heartbreak, and sometimes worry, but always love. I think one of the greatest pains in a mother's heart is that her child doesn't know Jesus. Or if her child doesn't take it seriously enough. Maybe you have or had a mother who talked with you about this. Maybe your mother talked until she was blue in the face, as the saying goes. Or maybe you had a mother who never mentioned it, who loves Jesus, but has made the decision not to talk about her feelings or her faith. Maybe you had a mom who expressed no interest in anything Christian. This isn't easy to say. But not to say things you know that need to be said is not love. I've known moms who struggle with this. You know, Pastor Mike, would you talk to my daughter, talk to my son? I can't get anywhere. I say, sure, if they're willing to talk, you know. I remember one time I met with a mom and her son, and they just said, you know, in talking there, you know, mom, we just don't agree. We just don't agree. You think people who don't believe in Jesus go down there when they die. And I believe that that place is reserved only for the Hitlers and the Jeffrey Dahmers and the terrorists of this world. We both believe in a loving God, mom, but mine's a whole lot more lenient than yours. And then they turned and looked at me. And I said, oh my, look at the time. I've got to be going. I've really got to go. And I just said, you know, you have a different understanding of the Bible. Both of you are Christians. Both of you are growing in your faith. And neither of you are going to back off of your convictions. So I said, you know, ground your conviction in Scripture. And then share it with each other. Share it. And ask yourself, what would it look like if we focused more on trying to understand each other rather than deciding who's right? Mother's Day means so many things to different people. To me, it's the day to think about our dependence. Our dependence. You know, if you had the world's greatest mother ever, or if you had a mother that's really been a struggle for you, the fact is at some point, you and I were small. We were really small. We were totally enveloped in our mother's womb. And you and I, we were totally dependent upon that umbilical cord, weren't we? I bet you thought you were coming to church and you would never hear umbilical cord. The nurturing that happened in that womb. She held you. She nursed you. She cared for you. I think Mother's Day is a day to remember that we're dependent and that we are someone else's child. But it's okay. It's okay and it's all good because we can turn to God too. So today is about Jesus. It's about helping every mother's child to know Jesus and to think about our dependence upon our mothers and our fathers and sort of what to do from there. Let me close with four things. Four ideas, four things just for you to think about today. First of all, feed your soul. Get a new Bible or get an app for your phone if you haven't got one already. The YouVersion Bible app, the Daily Bible, the Bible.is, those are three of the most popular Bible apps out there now. They give you dozens of translations to choose from, and they can speak it as well. You know, if you have a Bible that was given to you years ago and it's still in the box, chances are it's going to stay in the box. Get a new one. Make a fresh start. Start with the four Gospels if you can. And if you say, Mike, I really don't like to read, I don't have time to read, then you can listen. And you can learn the Bible stories and the principles behind them in so many different forms, in music, in lyrics, in art, in sculpture, in archaeology, in architecture, through the testimony of others. They always give me inspiration and motivation. I would say this, though, just as your pastor, I would say be careful of blogs. Just be careful, because not, as you already know, not everything in a blog is worth your time. Just be careful about that. Feed your soul, though. It's your soul. Second thing is feed your body. Remember, they're together. Do you get enough rest? Are you eating right? Do you have enough to eat? You see, it bothers me, and I know it bothers you, that so many children in our community go hungry. You would think that children wouldn't go hungry with the amount of food we throw away and don't even have, but it happens, and we're getting information right now on assisting another church in the area who has a backpack ministry with school kids. You know, and they want to continue to do it over Christmas and Easter because they know, they've learned, that for some, that's the only food they will see until they stand in the lunch line again. They're even thinking about doing it over the summer because they know that kids don't have enough to eat. So we'll get you updated as we get that information and see what, you know, the Lord is calling us to do and how to participate and partner with other churches to do that. And I would also say get outdoors more. Now that the weather's turned nice, it's easier to do that. Go ahead and get outside, you know. Enjoy the sunshine. I have a buddy who happens to be a pastor, too, and he named his boat Visitation. So when people came by to see him, his administrative assistant would say, he's not in right now, he's out on visitation. So as the weather turns nice, you know, feed your body as well. Number three, seize your moment. Seize your moment. Make a move. Again, it's your body. It's your spirit. It's your soul. What do you need to do to show love to one another? What do you need to do to take care of your body and take care of your spirit? You know, we can't stand before God one day and say, God, I couldn't do anything. God, I had to work 6 days a week. I never had any time. You know, God could say, well, guess what? I work 6 days a week too. That's how I started this whole stuff. Millions of people work 6 days a week. I'm not saying that God doesn't have any grace. God has buckets and buckets of grace. What I'm saying is that all of us have to seize the moment. You have to seize your moment. And number four, help your neighbor. Help the poor. Help your community. Find some way to do that and put your love for Jesus into action. Well, let's take a moment and just think about these things and just let the Holy Spirit continue to speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you that when you created us with both a mind and a spirit and a soul as well as a body. And we just want to acknowledge before you today, Lord, that you create us as whole persons. And it's all interrelated, and we don't understand it all, but we sure know what it feels like when our soul feels sick or when our body does. So, Lord, help us, even today, make a new beginning to feed our soul, to feed our bodies, to seize the moments that you give to us, and, Lord, so that you can remind us that it's not just all about us, Lord, that we would help our neighbor too. Thank you for this Mother's Day and what it means, so many things to different people. And thank you for our mothers who are present, Lord. Thank you for the people in our lives who have been like mothers to us, mentoring and nurturing and supportive and correcting. We thank you for that, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.